Okay, so welcome to the Expansion Podcast, the podcast for podcasters and lovers of the audio space. So as always, this is Mo, aka Mo Actually, and my co-host is...
Stavros.
Yes. Are you going to say your socials?
I am at Stavros Bus.
Thank you. So me and Stav have come together as two experienced podcasters to talk money, audio, content and more while sharing our personal, sometimes conflicting takes, joined by some very familiar podcast guests. So make sure you listen to the end of the episode for our podcast tips and do rate and review the podcast. So this week we are talking about true crime podcasts. And I'll just say our socials. You can find us at The Expansion Pod on all social platforms. So yeah, so it's True Crime Podcast followed by our update on podcast industry news. Okay, so this week we have with us Rena from the Handcuff Podcast. So Rena, if you want to introduce yourself.
Hi everyone. My name's Rena and I host the True Crime UK podcast Handcuffed. It's just over a year old, and so I'm still new in the game, I will say, but it's very different to what I usually listen to. I usually listen to like comedy podcasts.
Okay.
You know, the, more of a conversational podcast about just current topics and what's current news. And so I found True Crime Podcast maybe 4 years ago now.
Okay.
I just started my own over a year ago.
Well, congratulations on making it a year. Not everyone does. Many a podcast has fallen by the wayside.
I was really quiet about my year anniversary. Because I was just like, oh, I'm still new. I'm still trying to find my feet. But obviously, when the second birthday comes along, then I'll make some noise.
Yeah, oh, nice. No, good.
It'll be quiet next time. Yeah.
So you have to celebrate that. Like, not everyone makes it to a year. There's so many podcasts I don't even get past like episode like 5. So, well done.
That is very true.
Okay, so basically, I don't know whether it's worth maybe even just explaining what a true crime podcast is.
I think we should let Rena do that then.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so I'm trying to put it in the simplest way. So a true crime podcast usually will share facts and details of a case, so an actual real police investigation, past, present, or present, and yeah, they go through the top and tail of the case and share the details with the listeners. And then usually from that, there will be discussions and theories. And some of the cases that we discuss are unsolved still.
Oh, okay.
And there have been quite a few podcasts who have shared the story and it's resulted in the investigation being reopened or funding going towards investigation and searches. And there have been results from true crime podcasts. So that is a positive.
Yeah, that's really good, actually. I think for me, your podcast was definitely the first like true crime podcast that I listened to. But I've watched like, you know, like true crime documentaries. But I thought, okay, it's true, like why not listening to like more like podcasts about it, because I find it quite interesting, especially when it's an unsolved case as well, to see like how like the, you know, the host kind of like puts the whole thing together.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of just gives the listener a different take on the investigation. It kind of makes you feel like almost like you're involved, because like I said, some people, they're able to put funding towards these investigations or towards charities that help, for example, the Innocent Project, I believe, in America, they help prisoners who have been falsely imprisoned, released from jail. And a lot of true crime podcasts, they will plug Innocent Project at the end of their podcast so people can go to the website and help out in whatever way they can. And It also, for me, it kind of is a way to raise awareness, most importantly, because a lot of these stories I try to tell, share cases that have been in the media, but they haven't received the recognition they deserve, I believe.
Okay.
And there will be like 5 minutes of attention and spotlight on these cases, and then everyone tends to forget. And also in the true crime community, not many cases of Black people and other ethnic minorities get shared as much. And obviously we know the media also, they're kind of slacking on their part to share these cases as well. So for me, that's another way for that I can raise awareness on these cases that I think need to get more recognition.
No, definitely. So I wanted to ask, like, both of you, like, because I'm still quite new to the genre, what other like true crime podcasts like do you guys listen to?
I don't listen to true crime podcasts in general because I'm not morbid like that. I don't.
It is a bit morbid sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes I'm just like, oh, we're just going to listen to very, very detailed breakdown of what the criminal is doing.
I think, Serial is one. I've listened to the first season of Serial. That was obviously a lot of people found their way to podcasts through that particular podcast. I think at one time it was, or even maybe even now, it still was like the most downloaded single like series podcast ever. So obviously I checked that out more as a, let me see what this is about, as opposed to this is what I'm interested in. And I've had people ask me, because you're into podcasts, what crime podcasts can I listen to? And I've scanned it for that, for those reasons, so I could suggest things. But in general, it's not something that I gravitate towards. I don't want to be depressed hearing about
some child
that was kidnapped.
That's not the first time I've heard that. So yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a very depressing.
It's quite a topic. heavy it's topic.
It's a very heavy topic. But then sometimes I think of it in the other way, where you hear cases of like survivors, and I'm not just talking about the people that have gone through these horrific ordeals, but I'm also talking about the family surrounding them. Like, you hear about people going missing or people being in prison, and their family just keeps on fighting and fighting and fighting until they receive justice. So you hear about investigators who have worked themselves tirelessly to help these victims and their families. So
I suppose that's like a different way. That's a more positive way of looking at it. It's almost kind of like, especially where there is a more positive ending. But yeah, I get what you mean.
Straws. Yeah, that's fine.
No, but I get it though, because even when I'm talking to my friends and I'll be like really getting into it, and then even recently I had a friend be like, you need to stop because I'm just not going to be able to talk to you anymore.
Yeah.
I was just like, yeah, okay, that's fine.
Because one of the things I wanted to like ask, like, do you think that because, and not just with your podcast, but just with true crime podcasts in general, do you think that it ever gets a point where we maybe become desensitized to, I'm trying to say that word, to like, you know, the violence? Because I think about, you know, like all the documentaries like Don't F With Cats on Netflix. I never actually watched that, but so many people watched it. And I was like, are we getting to that point where we just, I don't know, we're not sensitive to these things going on. We're not shocked by them.
I think we are. And I don't think it's just the true crime community. I think it's just media in general.
Yeah.
I mean, how many videos do we like to, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, when we just saw the bombing of Lebanon.
Yeah.
We're seeing videos of people getting stopped and searched and killed left, right and centre. So I think it's not just the true crime community that can be sensitized to these things. It's just a more in your face community.
I agree actually. I'm not I don't like these kind of things. So like those videos when they're sending videos of police people, you know, brutality and whatnot. I don't watch those kind of things. I still haven't seen the George Floyd video. I don't think like there was a time on, I remember on Channel 4, there was a documentary maybe about, going back a long time, 10, 15 years ago. I was in college or school, and it was basically, they were showing deaths on a Channel 4 documentary, so it would have been about midnight, and everybody in school was talking about it after, because they were like showing beheadings and
blown up
and stuff. I know, it was mad on TV, and I was like, no, that is not for me. I'm not built for that. I don't think you're meant to consume that visually. Anyways, the stories that we're listening to on true crime is different, obviously, but just as a whole, I just like being positive. I don't know, but your podcast is very good.
Oh, thank you.
That's high praise.
To be honest, because we were going to talk about true crime, I did my due diligence and I listened to a bunch of podcasts, including yours. Untold, What Makes a Killer. I know that you listen to They Walk Among Us. You're a fan of that. Rena?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I forgot.
Before we lost you just there.
I was wrong for a minute. So I listened to that. That man speaks very slow.
Yeah, but they are good. But yeah, but this is the thing. I just felt like I just wanted to add a different tone to true crime podcasts and to UK true crime podcasts, should I say.
Yeah.
And I did go out my way because I heard you talk about you coming at it from, not that you want to, it's not a black podcast, but obviously you're a black woman and you wanted to bring light to some of those cases that you, like you mentioned, that maybe you thought are not highlighted. And if they just so happen to have black people that are involved on one side or the other, maybe you felt more, let me not speak on your behalf. Would you say that's something that's applicable or no?
No, it's true, because like I said, I just don't feel like we get, like if a black person goes missing, I don't feel like we get as much recognition as our white counterparts. We get recognition when we're the perpetrator, if it's involved in gangs or knife crime or gun crime. Mm. And I just felt like true crime just kind of reminds us that we can all be put in any situation and we can all have conversations that make us more aware of certain situations and dangerous situations. And it's not just that, it's not about stereotypes like this particular community commits this particular crime. Because really and truly anyone of us can get affected.
Of course. So based on what you said on your pod, I went out there looking for other podcasts that are black voiced about true crime. So I found a few of those. I found Fruit Loop, I found Cases of Colour, and Bruh, It's a Murder.
Yes.
Is that the name of the podcast?
Yeah, Bruh, It's a Murder.
It's a Murder, yes. Yeah.
But and then and Crime Nyo, the one that you've linked up with in the past as well.
Yeah.
So I did find out other ones. I think they're all American though, as opposed to yours, which is UK. So I think, are you one of the only UK ones?
I am, but recently there's a group of three black women that started a new true crime podcast in the UK, and I believe they're called Misdemeanor.
Okay.
Mashup of Misdemeanor.
It's a clever name. I like
Mr. Minua.
Yeah, no, it's a really good name. I'm just crap at saying names, which I've said so many times.
It's fine. Join the club.
Yeah. Okay, so I have done some due diligence, and I've noticed that there are different. So all right, so let's get into it then. So there are different styles. I noticed with you, you have this thing where you do all your research, and you basically spell it out from beginning to end. This is the story. And unlike many of them, you put your own personality into it. You have, you have guests often, and you talk in between this bit and that bit. You pull it apart whilst you're actually discussing the case from beginning to end. There are others where they have a bit more of an interview thing. So I guess it's a bit more like Serial, where they've gone and they've done, they've documented the, the thing. They've spoken to the parent of somebody that's passed, or they've gone to the jail to interview the criminal and stuff like that, and they include that into the pod. There are ones where they play out the system, so it's almost like a play. They have sound effects and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So so there are different angles coming to come out. Why is it that you decided to go the way that you went, Rena?
Do you know, I listen to different styles of true crime podcasts myself. So I listened to one called Court Junkie, where the host literally goes through court cases. So it's a lot about legislation, and it's very structured, and it's very factual. And then I listen to more conversational ones like my own, which I just find a bit more engaging. Okay. Because if you're not a type of person that necessarily wants to know all the legislation as to why the justice system is set the way it is, and why this person went to prison for this amount of time, it can get quite complicated, and some people lose interest in the case. And I have a lot to say myself.
No, I like your ad libs on, and I think to be fair, I think as a podcast listener, I think that it adds to it, because I don't know, I kind of want to know your opinion on things. I want to know the added little details. So I do like that, because I've listened to a few, and where it's just kind of like they're just reciting word for word what happens, I feel sometimes that I'm listening to a lecture versus I like to, I don't know, some personality with it or something.
I think it's just, it depends on the person's reason as to why they're listening to a true crime podcast. Because there was actually a debate not long ago on the timeline in the true crime community about true crime comedy podcasts.
Is that a genre? Is that a thing?
Yeah. So it is. It's more of a conversational podcast, but they just tend to banter a lot.
Right. Okay.
And some people take it too far, because at the end of the day, you have to remember that we are speaking about real people here. We're speaking about really horrible events, and real people are affected by these cases. And for us, I even mentioned in my recent episode that we just go from case to case, and it's easy for us to forget that
these are real people.
Yeah, we're listening to someone else's life story. And I have banter in my episodes, and I felt conflicted looking at this debate, because I was like oh no, because a podcast got called out for their title and description of one of their episodes. And how it was racially insensitive. And then it just made me reflect, because I looked at my past episodes and I went, hold on, I use clickbait titles and I banter within episodes, but I would hope that people don't think that I'm being insensitive to victims, because obviously it's easy to read something or listen to someone's tone and make up your mind, and whereas it's different when you actually seen the person work and research and put in actual effort into their podcast. But I do agree that some people do take it too far, and it just reminded me that I needed to be mindful.
Did you listen to that particular episode?
Have I listened to it?
Yeah, that one that got called up.
No, I haven't. I've just seen the title and the description.
Okay, because I know that you put this, and many of them actually, they put a disclaimer at the beginning. Often it will be usually that, you know, this, the content is obviously graphic warning. Stuff like that. But I know with you, you put an addition that, you know, I do come at it from a more down to earth angle, and I mean to cause no offense. So you add that. Mm-hmm. Was that something that you did right from the beginning, or did you add that on at some point?
You, if you listen to my first, I don't know, maybe 6-8, there's no disclaimer. And then I added it towards the end, because I put out an episode and there was banter involved. I believed it was harmless, but obviously that's from my point of view. I can't speak on a listener's point of view and how they react to it.
I was going to say, like, I think, like, do we think as podcasters, is there a responsibility on us to be sensitive, to make sure that we research things, that we're factual, like, you know, do all the prep and everything, just as much as, say, like, almost like a journalist? Or do you...
I think it depends on your genre. I think true crime, yes.
Yeah.
Because you're dealing with real police investigations, whether they're closed or open. So I think for us, there's a lot of research that goes into our podcast, because compared to like a comedy podcast, you might have a meeting or a plan where you might just jot down your topics.
Right.
And then you're just freestyling.
Yeah.
Because it's just easier to make a conversation flow that way. Whereas I have to actually sit down, research, write a script. And there's a structure to how I do my podcast. Not saying that other genres don't do that, but I think with the true crime community, because we are sharing the cases of victims, we do have a sense of responsibility. But at the same time, I'm not a professional. And
yeah,
I've stated that quite a few times. So there are some true crime podcasters who are journalists. So they do have the privilege of being able to dig deeper, whereas I'm just using what the internet kind of gives me and trying to make sense of it.
Okay. Yeah, right. I get that. Because even with my podcast, obviously it's not a true crime podcast, but we talk about different topics. And there have been a couple of times where I've maybe reference. So I remember I referenced a article and I said the wrong journalist's name, and mm-hmm. the podcast was actually put out. No one said anything, but it bothered me. So I actually went and re-uploaded the audio with the amendment. So there's an episode, if you listen, it's mid-conversation. You hear me say the correct person's name, because I've just recorded it in isolation by myself. It sounds very awkward. But I was like, no, I'm very much, I can't not put the correct person's name, especially because the journalist was a black woman. I felt like an extra responsibility.
We commend you on your diligence and
journalistic
integrity. Wonderful.
But that's what podcasters should be doing. If you're going to be
not
using
all of them
someone,
do it.
I know. And it wasn't until I was really into the true crime community that I realized there's so much drama involved in podcasts.
Okay, then.
From plagiarism to competition, it's just too much.
Well, let's have some fun. Give me some examples, because you mentioned the true crime like community.
Yeah, they sound like they're quite feisty over there.
I guess.
No, they're so welcoming. They're such nice people. But it's not even the indie podcast I'm talking about. But I know there's been plagiarizing issues with. Yeah. The big podcasts, the ones that have actually been like backed by sponsors and stuff.
How would you figure it?
So they take work from smaller podcasts.
As in, so let's say you discuss a niche case, you know, some case that is nobody's spoken about in the UK, mm-hmm. and then you find out another podcast, one of the bigger ones, talks about the same subject.
Is your content?
No, would you count?
No,
would you count as
he's telling me to be quiet. Okay, fine. I'm quiet. Sorry. Let's meet the expert. Sorry, Rina.
I wouldn't take that as plagiarism, because you can speak about the same case I'm speaking about. But I'm talking about there's been people that have literally stolen scripts,
right,
and have read verbatim what another podcast has worked on. That's plagiarism.
I see. Okay. Yeah. And some of the bigger ones are doing this.
Yeah.
Absolutely disgraceful. Okay. Because I guess I am part of a podcast community, but I've never actually looked at it like that before. But I guess listening to you and talking about you having your community there, I guess we are. Do you see yourself as in the bigger schemes as part of the community, or are you just like or you just look at just true crime? That's my section. I'm hanging.
Say that again. Sorry.
Do you see yourself as I hang around in the true crime part of the club? That's my community. And you guys over there, I'm not in that room. You're in another room from me, or what?
Not necessarily. I feel like, I feel like a part of the community, but I wouldn't say I'm so involved that I know everything there is to know, because I'm very quiet. Like, there's group chats and I don't really talk much in them. Just because there's just so much going on right now, so it's just hard to just chat in so many group chats. But I do try to keep up to date with the important updates, because people like to share advice as well, so I do find them really helpful. So that's why I say a lot of true crime podcasts are really welcoming in that way. I've received help from fellow podcasters.
Rena just mentioned having like WhatsApp, well, I don't know if they're WhatsApp groups or iChat groups or whatever.
No,
or
Twitter groups.
Or Twitter groups. I guess, what, have you ever thought of starting up a group yourself for, I don't know.
A podcast and group.
Yeah.
I'm in one already.
Oh, sorry, I'm not invited. let's move on then.
You're the only one that doesn't know.
I'm not in any groups like that, so no. I guess let's move on, because I feel a bit sad now, left out.
I think I invited you to it. I don't think you're interested. So I wanted to ask, Rena, what do you think has been like your most controversial like case that you've discussed on your podcast? Like most shocking?
Shocking in general or controversial as in like feedback?
Oh, let's go in terms of feedback. Yeah, let's go with that one. And what was the feedback?
So I did an episode on honour killings, and that's the one where I mentioned before, which was the reason why I started putting out disclaimers. So honour killings is a very sensitive subject, and like I mentioned before, if I have guests on my podcast, I like to draw them in by asking them questions about themselves, asking them maybe about their past experiences, just to get them more interested in the case and actually understand what the case is. And so there was some banter in the episode, and I did receive an email afterwards.
Oh, okay.
From a woman, and she said that she wasn't pleased to hear her fellow Black sisters laughing about such a sensitive topic. Okay. And how I needed to be careful because I could be inciting Islamophobia.
Right, that's a big statement.
That is a very big statement, which personally I don't believe that I was doing that at all, because I didn't even mention Islamophobia. Or when I did, I was like, this does not mean, just because this case is speaking about a specific community, it doesn't mean everyone in that community is going to commit this offence, kind of thing. But obviously she came respectfully, and we was able to have like a email conversation about it. But I did end up removing the episode because, like you said before, you know, it was bugging me, because I was just like, oh, I really don't want a listener out there, a Black woman, to think that I'm not taking her culture or her religion seriously. But I did explain to her my style of podcasting and my banter that is.
I know Stav kind of like, give me feedback. And definitely I'm sensitive to like I said, the information being factual and not being offensive.
Yeah, and it's just it's about listening as well, because with my podcast I wanted conversations to be had. I wanted those difficult conversations to be taking place, so if a listener has a concern, I'm going to listen. Obviously everyone's entitled to give advice and everyone's entitled to decide if they want to take it. So I'm not saying that with every negative feedback I'm going to receive in the future, I'm going to make amendments because of all of them. But I'm very open-minded to what people have to say. And then also with the recent incident with the other podcast, I actually recorded the same case.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's a lot of banter in that episode.
So have you put that episode out then?
Yeah, that was one of my early episodes.
Okay.
It's a very early one. So from that point to now, I've learned so much. So that's why I'm saying now that, oh, I've learned how to be more mindful. Whereas before, I was just starting up. I was just kind of going with what I thought worked. And I won't remove the episode because I haven't actually received any complaints about it. But it's just about me stepping back and thinking, okay, I can see how someone could take offense to this.
No, I hear that. One of the things I wanted to talk about also was music. We had on our previous episode, we had Anthony from Bedtime Stories, and his podcast is a storytelling podcast, and he talks a lot about his production process and how he selected music, sound effects, because his one is like a whole production. It's like listening to a film. But one of the things that I did notice about listening to yours is that you do have that music in the background, and it kind of helps like build tension sometimes. I'm listening glad. Like it's almost like that. I don't know how to describe it, like chilling. Like is that purposeful? Like what was you thinking when you introduced that element?
Yeah, I think it just adds another element to the listener's experience because like you said, it just kind of adds that suspense to the case build up. So you're always thinking, okay, what's going to happen next? What is she going to say next? So I enjoyed that experience when I've listened to other podcasts. So I tried it out myself.
Nice. So I think we pretty much covered everything, Stav.
Okay. Fair enough. My audio cut out for a bit there for about 5 minutes there. So
you're back in the room.
I'm back now. So I don't know what I actually missed, but fair enough. If you're saying that we've covered everything, by all means.
The only other question I did want to ask is just about, this is more of like a podcasty kind of like technical question, is about that. The fact that on one of your episodes, you mentioned that you record in the cupboard. And I think it's quite a good time for us to talk about some of our recording hacks to try and get our audio as clear as possible.
Yeah, so, that's where I am right now.
Yeah.
You know what? When I heard you say that on the podcast that I listened to when you said you were doing that, I was so impressed because...
Really?
Listen, I'm an audio snob. I don't know if you listen to any of my podcasts, but I'm very snobby with the audio. Very, very, very. So there are times when I want to tell people, if you have a cupboard, go into that. Or for instance, when we were recording remotely, there's one of the people on my podcast, I told him, you have to go into this room, like, don't be in that room and get under the covers, because they had no cupboard. I mean, they had no cupboard. So you need to get under the covers in your on your bed. Because for me, what I've noticed is some of the biggest podcasts, ones that have millions and millions and millions, usually new stuff, because I listen to a lot of new stuff as well, a lot of politics. And when they're recording remotely, you hear them all the time talking about, yeah, I'm under the covers. I'm in a cupboard. And I'm thinking these are people working for BBC or CNN or whatever it is. And they're happy to do that because they need the best audio quality. And I know they've got good mics because obviously they're working for the BBC or something like that. But then I asked my friend to like, oh, can you just do it? And like, why? No, I ain't doing it. And he's like, oh, come on, man. You have no professionalism. So when I heard you, Rena, say you were in the cupboard because you wanted to get good crisp audio, I was very impressed, actually.
Thank you. I got the idea from listening to other people, so yeah, people are always in their cupboards and underneath the covers.
Yeah
I've done the quilt over my head when I couldn't record in my living room and think, so yeah,
so
it does make a big difference.
There's a thing. So for instance, I've listened to other podcasts now where they give suggestions on what you should and shouldn't do. And I've heard people say you can't use a phone as a microphone. Like that is a big no-no. Yeah. But for me, there are podcasts where I've heard people go from one studio to another studio. And then it's like, oh, I can notice you're not in another studio. And then during lockdown, when they're recording remotely, it's like, well, you had a good studio, you had a bad studio, and your phone is actually better than the bad studio. Yeah. So they're going to pay for a studio when they're recording on their phone at home is actually better. But they may never know that as soon as lockdown's over and their studio's open, they're going to run back to the studio where it's like the quality is not as good. So for me, if you have a decent phone, you can, and you're willing to go into a cupboard or under a quilt, then potentially it could be better for you. So it's all about listening to the stuff afterwards.
Yeah, definitely. It seemed to work so far, but I've had a few technical difficulties because obviously I still need to kind of soundproof this cupboard. So I do have a blanket over my head as well. Even with recording remotely, when I did that collaboration with Crime Noir, I experienced a lot of technical difficulties. So I had to put a disclaimer in the audio note, in the episode notes, like, it's not the best experience, but here you go.
I think everybody understands over lockdown that some of the biggest podcasts, some of the biggest TV programs, they've all just melted into 50% of what they usually were in terms of quality, whether it's visual or audio. So I think everybody understands and they kind of get it. Even my snobbish level has turned down a bit when it comes to over the lockdown. Even I get it. It's like, well, what can you do?
I'm glad I've impressed you.
But we'll talk offline as well. I've got some other stuff to say as well.
This is how I've met Stav and Rina. He listened to my podcast and gave me, in quotation marks, some constructive feedback on my audio, and then from there we became friends.
Okay, we can't.
I know my audio is crap though.
No, it's not so crap. It's not crap. Let's
the improvements can be made.
Yeah,
of course. But I'm still trying to find my way through Audacity, whatever it's called, and obviously Anchor. It's all new to me. It's all like a learning experience.
Well, you're in the right place, the expansion pod. Yeah.
No, Rina, you've been doing it a year. It's not new anymore. You're a veteran in the game.
No, it is. It's new. I'm a new podcast until I say otherwise.
Yeah. It's fine. We're here. This is a safe space. We're here to help you.
Yeah, apparently so. Yeah. Well, either way, we're like Mo and my inboxes or DMs, whatever it's called, are open. So we're always here to help. So I'm sure Mo can give you some advice for anything you may need afterwards.
Happily.
Yeah. So, Rina, is there anything that you wanted to discuss? Like when I was locked off, I don't know what you two were talking about. Was there anything that you wanted to bring to the table that we haven't asked you?
What do you want more out of the true crime community? Like, what type of cases do you want to hear more of?
Ooh, that's a good question. Shall I go first, Stav?
Please.
Well, I think you're already doing it. I just want to hear more relevant cases. So I think it was actually nice that you discussed the Solo 45, is that what
four
you
five.
Mean? Four or five.
I am
both of
crime.
Both of you made that mistake.
Sorry.
No, in my podcast I mentioned that.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
Okay, Solo 45. So obviously that was a big case in terms of all the I was going to say, so he was he's gone down for rape. So mm-hmm. I think it was actually it's been quite good to actually listen to some things that are quite relevant to our community, and also things that I know about as well. And even listening to the case where you talked about which is a horrible story, and the lady who her ex ended her pregnancy.
Is that
happened in Peckham. And even
child
the fact,
destruction.
Yet, that's the thing. That's such a weird phrase. It's such a new phrase to me because I didn't even know it even existed. But when I listened to that, even the way that you started off by, you know, talking about Peckham, and it just made it so like real and relevant.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good touch. At the beginning.
I think it's first time trying it out.
Yeah, it's like I liked that idea because that wasn't the first episode I listened to. I'd been listening to them, and then I got to this one, and I'm like, what is this about? But you were painting the picture, and it's almost like a magician when they're setting you up for whatever, and then at the end they're like, bang! And it's like, oh, that's what you've been setting up this whole time. And so when you said, and then you went into it, and it's like, now I have a picture of Peckham. Well, I know Peckham anyways, but I have a picture of Peckham in my head now that you've painted for anybody that didn't know it. And I thought, it seemed like it was an added string to the bow that you were doing previously. Where
it just made it a lot more real, and also it, in terms of storytelling, because I think because we talked about it a lot in the previous podcast, from an audio perspective, I was able to just put myself there in that world. And I think especially because we are audio kind of like medium, it's so important that we paint the picture, we give it context, we give it texture, so the listeners can really be transported into what you're talking about. So yeah, so more of that, please. So that's my answer.
Yeah,
I'll call Stav. I've tried to steal it. Yeah.
Well, I'm stealing it anyways.
I stole it from somebody too. It's fine. No, but thanks for that feedback. And with those two cases that you mentioned, Solo 4-5 and Mallory Bantala case, yes. Those cases I felt more of a tie to, because like you said, it was more within our community.
Yeah.
And we're all aware of Peckham. I just tried to make it more personal. Because I know so many Black people have walked the streets of Peckham, and they have their own story to tell of their experience in Peckham. And funny enough, there were so many people that actually messaged me and be like, oh, I actually know him.
Right. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, if I was to put my producer hat on, then I would I would say, if I look at the collection of your podcasts, if the two that you, well, let's say for instance Mo, if Mo is your typical listener, if those are the two that she listened to and they resonated with her, and you yourself say those are two that you have a tie with, then me as a producer, I would say, well, obviously there's something there. If there's something that resonates with you, like as opposed to I'm just into true crime and these things fascinate me, if there's a separate level to it where it's like this subject, for whatever reason, whether it's because it's the area they're in or it's the type of people they are or it's from that community and like it hits me on another level, I actually care about it outside of just it being something that I'm interested in, then I would say as a producer, go in that direction, find those stories and talk about those, because if it's important to you, the listeners hear that and it means something.
Definitely, I'd
definitely do hear that. And yeah, all the cases that I want to share or have shared, they're all important to me because they all have a connection, kind of. Because even with I did a case on, I believe her name was Chloe Eiling, the young model that got kidnapped.
Yeah, in Spain. Italy.
Yeah, Italy. Okay. Italy. Yeah, and that. That had the weird connection because I was like, she's really young. She's in this media life, influencer lifestyle that a lot of young people can relate to. So that's another direction that I was going in as well. But no, I definitely hear that, and it has been on my mind a lot lately.
Okay, so let's move on to, I don't know, I wasn't going to say it each week, but podcast news. Okay, so on this part of the episode, Rena, we just basically just have a bit of a catch up on what's going on in the podcast industry. So the first thing I wanted to mention was Spotify have introduced paid advertising on their Spotify exclusive podcast content for the first time. So I don't know if you listened to the Michelle Obama podcast.
I haven't yet.
Okay, so if you listen to that, even as a premium customer, so a paid customer, you will hear some Spotify advertising. So it's caused a bit of a stir because people are like, well, if I'm paying for premium content, my £10 a month, should I be hearing any adverts? And then also, I think it gives another signal in terms of what Spotify are doing in terms of trying to monetize now their podcast content. So potentially,
I did say this like a year and a half ago, but you know, you can go back.
What did you say, that they're gonna start monetizing
as soon, yeah, when Spotify got into the podcast field? Well, they've been in it for ages, but they were quite closed. They didn't let really external people host their podcast there. It was more of an invitation thing, so they would put the people that they wanted on. But then when they opened up about what would you say, more about 18 months ago or so? How long ago was it when they just opened the gates and it's like, you can come, anybody can put their podcast on?
Just probably around like 18 months ago, where you could literally just submit your own feed like easily, because it was hard work to get on there before.
So once they opened it up like that, but the way they did it wasn't just, oh, give us your RSS feed and we'll pull it, like with most other apps. What they did was they hosted it, as I've mentioned on previous episodes of our podcast here. Then I realized there's a reason they're doing that, because that's more time consuming. It's more money. It's extra work. So why are they doing all that extra work? And they're doing extra work because it always comes down to money somehow. And so that, how you making money off podcasts? Advertisers. So I knew it was going to happen. They've taken their time and they're building up a wealth of talent. Rena, with this Michelle Obama, there's a name in it. Yeah, is that something that you would want to listen to? Is that something, you said you haven't listened to it yet. Were you going to listen to it anyways or no?
Yeah. I was going to listen to it because I'm just interested to know what she's going to speak about.
I'm interested how big it's going to be. Okay. So I'm using you as a case.
I think it's going to be huge because it's her.
Yeah.
I mean, look how big her book was.
Yeah. But it was a good book. And she's a good talker as well. And she obviously she's had years of experience talking in public. So,
The only thing, I mean, we discussed it on the pod before, these big celebrity podcasts, they don't always convert into good podcasters. So I'm just saying, just putting I love Michelle Obama, just that disclaimer as well.
Have you listened to her one then, Mo?
I haven't listened yet. It's on my list. I'm going to.
Do you think hers will translate into a good podcast, Mo?
I don't know. I haven't listened to it. Stan.
Yeah, that's what I think. I'm not asking, do you think it did? Do you think it will?
I do for her because I've seen her talk on like panels and stuff like that. So, and I have seen her like present and interview people. So I do think it does transfer.
Yeah, she can work a crowd. She's very good.
But do you think it will last? Like, you know, some of these podcasts only come out for a season or two.
Yeah, I don't see this as a long-term thing for her because I don't think even Spotify can afford it.
Yeah, she's a busy woman.
Yeah, it's definitely there as a pull. What do they call it? A loss leader. They're probably pumping tons of money into her just to get people to log onto Spotify and listen. They're willing to have you on that app. The thing is, once you're on the app, what they want you to do is stay in the app.
Yes.
Oh, all my other favorite podcasts are here. I might as well stay here. That's the point. And then eventually, after 2, 3, 4 years, they are the number one podcast app, as opposed to whatever was the number one podcast app before.
So what apps do you guys use?
To listen to podcasts?
Yeah.
I was very much a Apple podcast. That's where I listen to everything. But I have noticed that I've been listening more on Spotify because of the Spotify exclusive content. So once I'm in an app, like Stav was saying, once I'm there, then I'm there. So, you know, it's convenience, laziness. Yeah. You kind of just start to stick with what you're familiar with. So I've noticed that I've been listening more on Spotify than the other, than Apple.
I'm an Apple podcast guy. Like, I used to listen to Joe Biden, for instance. When he went exclusively to Spotify, I just don't listen to him anymore. it's just, I listen to way too many. So if I only listen to a couple of podcasts, then I would happily jump from one app to another. But I listen to about 50 podcasts a week. I don't have the time to start opening other apps to listen to something else. If it's not an Apple podcast, I just don't bother.
But you see, I followed Joe Biden and the Receipts podcast over to Spotify. So they got me with their tactics.
They gotcha. Yeah. What about you, Rena? Is there a particular app you use, or is there a particular app that you feel is you get the best numbers from, or what?
I use Apple. Most of my listeners are on Apple too. Mm. But I do have a few podcasts on Spotify. But I don't know. I think I just prefer, or I'm used to the Apple layout. Because sometimes it's just the layout for me. Like, I'm just like, I'm not really used to the Spotify layout.
I get a bit complacent.
Visually, I'm just more leaning more towards Apple.
Okay.
Fair enough. We should probably actually put out a poll at some point for just to understand where people are listening to podcasts, because I always find that quite interesting.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Just to what you mentioned, actually, Rina, Stitcher, which is another big podcast app, they put out a tweet where they sent a burn towards Spotify. It's like people trying to find a podcast on Spotify, and they had a man that looked a bit bemused, and I'm like, wow. So they're sending shots because Stitcher is a direct competition to Spotify, because Stitcher were doing what Spotify is trying to do now. Stitcher did it first.
I only heard about Stitcher recently.
Oh, Stitcher had been doing it for years. They were the first ones to do it. So Spotify basically stole their idea.
Oh no.
So
if you want to see that tweet, that's on the Expansion Pod Twitter page as well.
Yes.
Okay.
So I can't remember how we got to this. What was it again? You were talking about.
So we were just basic. Yes. Yeah, so this is my podcast news segment, the news segment. Moving on to my next news story. I feel like you need to put the maybe like the true crime music underneath me talking here. to build tension and suspense and everything. He's looking at me, giving me dirty looks.
No. Rina, send me the music, please, and I'll add it on the bottom here if you don't mind.
So basically, I'm scouring Twitter, looking at podcasts, like updates, trying to, you know, get involved in people's business. And I've come across this news story of basically where there's a podcast network called LLS Network, also known as Lunar Light Studios. And basically, all of their podcasters are leaving the network due to allegations of inappropriate behavior by the network owners. So it's caused quite a stir within that whole podcast community. I don't know. I'll read a little bit of the statement that was actually put out by the podcasters. Fans and friends and the former members of the Lunar Light Studio Network. On Saturday, August 1st, 2020, we released a statement letting you all know that abuse allegations against Blue and Haley had caused us to part ways and sever our creative brands as the LLS network move forward in a new direction. In the following days, it has been made clear to us that Blue and Haley have no intention of ceding the name and brand to the remaining network members and have chosen to claim all monies belonging to the network and to Lunar Light Studios, LLC. This is no longer an amicable separation. We will be ceasing all use of branding immediately and relinquishing all funds as we ask that you halt your donations to the Patreon immediately. Wow. Please be aware that none of the podcasters on this network ever received any payment from Lunar Light Studios, also known as LLC. The members of this collective have lost access to the official Lunar Light Studio Patreon account. We would like to make it clear that from now on, the Lunar Light brand is only associated with Haley and Blue. Any support directed at Lunar Light in the future will be only going to them and not to the rest of the former members. That includes donations to the Lunar Light Patreon, any social media presence, and anything with the name Lunar Light Studio. Sincerely, the following podcast. Bad Romance, Netflix and Kill, Forced Friends Rewatch, New Horizons, Mock Footage, and many more that formerly belonged to the network. So in short, the allegations there of abuse, but also that the podcasters were actually not receiving their money from their Patreon accounts. So I kind of like wanted to have maybe a quick discussion about networks, pros and cons, but also just what you guys' thoughts are on that story.
Do you know what? I've heard Yeah, I've been seeing like similar stories of people signing to big networks, and then when they're trying to leave, they find out that they don't even own the rights to their podcast.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Or like the music business IP all over again or something.
Yes.
Okay, I don't know too much about about it.
Would you consider signing up to a network, Rena?
I would, but then when I'm hearing that I might not own the rights to this, that and that, I was just like, oh, I don't know, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. I would have to get a serious loyal lawyer to help me understand my contract before I sign anything.
I mean, I like the ideas of networks. I like the ideas of teams and families and sort of doing, working as a team together. I thought myself of doing one. Well, to be honest, I guess I already have one. I wanted this podcast to be on the network, but I was too scared to ask more, so I didn't bother.
Oh, this is the first time you're even mentioning to me.
I love bringing up new stuff on the pod. So. Asking. Yeah. So, Rena?
I said, that's your way of asking.
Well, it was just too late now.
Yeah, he knows I can only react a certain way because we're recording and he does the edit. So,
So I like the idea of that. So, but I don't think I could be on somebody else's.
Oh, so you would have to be the... See, I've been on a network.
Yes, you have.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How was your experience?
It was actually really good. I was on the Indie Creative Network, and I, you know, obviously they made it clear from the beginning that you own everything. It's all of your IP, all your content is yours. But it was more of a case of they supported you from like marketing, getting your podcast out there. So in the initial stages, it really helped my podcast audience grow because I wasn't starting exactly from zero, if that makes sense, because they have their own audience that listens to their podcast or the network. So I was able to leverage some of that to listen to my podcast. So definitely there's pros and cons, but don't let this, you know, give networks a bad rap because they're not all bad.
Yeah.
I think it takes a certain type of person to join one. I think if you're real like control, then don't.
Is there a difference between signing up to a network and then signing with an agency?
Oh, see, that's a really good question. There probably is like huge differences. I suppose a network, I don't know. I suppose an agency, they represent just your interests. I don't know, Stav, what do you think?
I would say it's different. An agency is they're primarily based on dealing with you. So they're going to try and get you, I guess they were almost like a manager. They're trying to get you this kind of advertising. They're going to try and get you on that podcast, or they're going to try and blah, 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 whatever they may do. Whereas a network, like most of it, I guess there's different angles. Some of the networks actually have studios. So the studio is there. If you record it here, do you want to be part of this network? So maybe it might cut the fees for the studio. Other people that are on the network, you're kind of like, you're crossing over like comics where this character jumps into that thing, which also helps. So I know like you on the newer podcast, her listeners are now going to listen to you and vice versa. So people on networks, they have that going for them as well. And then just advertising, you wouldn't have to pay for your advert to be on somebody else's podcast on the same network and vice versa. So I think it's a lot of cost cutting in that sense. Whereas an agency, they're looking to drag more work out of you, maybe find somebody to produce you, stuff like that. So I think, for me, a network is about a community. Let's work together, kind of like build each other up. And an agency is like, we're here for you, but pay me for it. Pay me for the privilege of being here for you.
Okay.
That's what I was saying. So if you are happy being the control freak, for instance, me, if I had to choose between the two, I'd probably choose to pay an agent or to be in an agency
to like help promote you.
Yeah, because that's where I would say that I fall short on promoting and stuff like that. So I'd be happy to take that on board and take that assistance. Whereas I don't feel the network stuff is necessary because maybe there's other podcasts on the network that I don't really. Like I'm not cool with. I don't identify with that. I don't mean that. I mean it could be a podcast about pets or whatever. And I don't care about animals. It's like I don't want to be linked to them.
Yeah, but that why can't you be on the same network as them?
Because I see it as a family. If I'm on the same network as, I guess because of the way I grew up, if you're a part of a team, then like you have to ride or die with your team. You can't, you don't say it and not back it up. So
I'll back the pet.
I think everyone has different. You can have different interests, but still have the same goal. Dogs and helping cats each other
by themselves, man. They have to sort themselves out. No offense.
But the thing is, though, that's how you diversify your audience as well, because someone could listen to the pet podcast, but also be into what you guys talk about. So it's how you're accessing a whole new audience.
That's
you can't
enough.
All be sharing the same audience because you're slicing the same piece of pie.
It's fair enough. But put it this way, this topic that you brought up with the beef with that network, it's not the first network I've heard where there's been problems. And Rena said herself, she's heard negative things before. So it comes down to you have a bunch of different people. It's like in any office or any work environment. If you have all these people with different views, different ideas, different backgrounds, and you dump them in one place and, you are now a network. Sometimes it just doesn't work. It don't gel. Whereas if I have an agent, then it's like, or if I'm working for an agency, it's just, I just have to worry about myself.
Can I just say, without sounding super shady, as the only person that's actually been on the network, I don't think. I said without sounding shady, I think maybe you have a misunderstanding of how like the network actually works. Like you're not like working together. It's just about like promoting like your individual shows. You're pretty much still individuals, so you don't have to have like the same kind of like content, just throwing it out there, you know, think. So yeah, so if you do want to know more about networks, just you know, message the expansion pods, but at
direct at me.
Yeah. All of this will be cut out probably, but it's fine.
That put me in my place. No, it's
fine. I said it without being shady.
No, of course. No. You're right though. You're right. You have been in it. You've seen it from the inside. I'm just looking at it from the outside. So
yeah. And to be fair, a lot of these issues that have come up with networks, I have noticed the main thing is money and who owns the content. And I think that's where it gets sticky. So if you're joining a network and it's not clear that you own your content, or you don't have visibility of the money that's coming in, like either through advertising or through your Patreon and stuff like that, then that's where it's normally there's problems.
Okay. Understood.
Okay.
It's like the music industry.
It is.
Yeah, it's getting like that. Look, with the charts that we mentioned previously, you have charts now, you have like networks, which is almost like record labels.
They are.
People, taking your money, taking your publishing, or taking whatever it is. So yeah, it is becoming big business. I can see it in the next 4 or 5 years. People will really be making like money and touring. Well, they already are touring.
Yeah, people already do live shows.
Yeah, so
getting $1 million deals.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because I've done live shows, but I've never done a tour, and I've never and I still need that $1 million check. God willing.
Okay. Well. We'll talk about how to make money at some point as well. So we're coming towards the end. So at this part of the episode, we like to give a podcast tip. So Rena, as our expert this week, do you have a tip for any like new podcasters or somebody that wants to get into the game, or even for experienced podcasters, a podcasting tip, and then followed by a show that you're currently listening to that you'd like to recommend?
I would say be better than me and plan and stay consistent. Because I find that quite difficult because I do true crime and there's a lot of prep that goes into releasing an episode. Mm-hmm. So whilst I'm working full time, trying to release episodes consistently, I've struggled. So I do say, if you want to start your own podcast, just take some time to plan maybe your first 5 episodes, get them ready, and just give yourself a head start. And don't be afraid to ask for advice from people that are doing similar things to you, because that's really helped me out as well. So try to find your own community, join some, I don't know, Twitter groups or Facebook groups. It can get overwhelming. You don't have to talk to them all the time, but you do certainly pick up a few gems.
Okay.
All right, anything you're listening to, or you have listened to?
I'm thinking, I'm not going to lie, I haven't listened to a podcast in a while.
Oh.
Lockdown's got you.
It has, because I usually listen to podcasts on my commute or at my desk.
Yeah.
So now I'm at home, I'm like, oh, let me just put the TV on.
Well, either way, what was your number, when you were commuting and when you were on your desk, what was the number one podcast that you looked forward to listening to on?
Oh, I Court Junkie, Crime Noir, and Crime Junkie, but I've kind of like stopped listening to them recently. Okay. So yeah, I think Court Junkie is still my number one.
Court Junkie, I've never heard of that before. So and that's the one.
But it's very factual. I don't know. I don't know if you'll be interested in it because it's very.
Thanks, Rena. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Why?
Because you're slightly saying that maybe it might go over his head, which, you know...
No. I'm saying.
Which, you know, it might do.
Yeah, just because I don't know if you'll find it interesting. If you like more conversational podcasts, then, yeah, I don't know if this one's for you.
I don't
Good
actually
save.
Know.
Good save.
But give it a listen.
I'll give it a try.
Yeah. It's quite a big podcast.
All right. Yeah, cool. I'll do that. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Mo, yourself, anything you want to say?
No.
Should we be suggesting podcasts at the end as well? No, don't worry about that.
Yes.
Oh, you think we should?
Yeah, well, I want some podcast recommendations.
No, Rena, I don't think you'd like it, so don't worry about it.
Oh, triggered. Okay, you know what? On that note, let's wrap this up.
No, Rena said she wants a suggestion. Do you have a suggestion for her?
Yeah, outside true crime.
Outside true crime, what do I listen to? I listen to so many.
Do you want me to go first then?
I'll go first, because then I can have a think of like what I listened to recently.
I'm big into politic podcasts, so I'm going to be listening to a bunch of them then, if we are going to start doing them ourselves. And one of them is Payne's Politics. It's an FT podcast. It used to be the FT Political podcast or the FT Politics podcast, but then they've changed it. They've rebranded it, and the host has basically just consumed it and taken it now. His name is... Oh, I'm trying to remember his first name now, because I remember there's another person that does a politic podcast with the same name. And I was like, it was quite funny. But his surname is Payne's. It's Payne's Politics, and it's an FT podcast. And FT have a bunch of good podcasts
What's
as well.
What's the FT podcast?
It's a Financial Times.
Okay, this so, is how yeah, you so, know that's not my world. But I'm interested.
Financial Times, yeah. So Payne's Politics. Mo, yourself?
So my one, okay, for this week, I've been listening to the Creative Juice podcast, which is just a bunch of creatives in the film and TV industry. So they're like writers, TV producers, and they just come together and talk about what's going on in the industry. And what I like at the moment is they're talking about how the industry has had to adapt because of coronavirus and the lockdown, and how that some of them have received more work and some of them obviously are on furlough. So it's been quite interesting in terms of their process and even just the whole like the TV production process. It's quite informative.
Mm-hmm. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Mo.
You are welcome.
All right.
Okay. So, Rena, tell the listeners where they can find you.
Yes, so you guys can find me on Twitter at Handcuffed Pod and Instagram at Handcuffed Podcast.
Brilliant.
Those are the only two socials I have.
Okay. Well, that's fine. You don't need any more than that.
No, because there was a silence. I was like,
Oh no! Don't worry. Don't worry about that. We are still new ourselves in working together, so we're still figuring out. It's because we're recording remotely. That gap is always there. It's always there. You can find us at The Expansion Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Now I've done it. Yeah. So, and use the hashtag TheExPod. That is TheExPod. To tell us what you feel, tell us what you think. Our DMs are open if you want any advice or questions or queries or any topics that you want us to discuss in future episodes, by all means. Or even if you want to come on and discuss something yourself, let us know. You can find Mo at?
At Mo Actually UK on Twitter.
And you can, you don't need to find me. Don't worry about that. Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you for having me as well.
Oh, yeah. Rena, thank you for coming.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you had a guest.
It's because I can't see you. Forget your dad.
She's in the cupboard.
Rena, I really appreciate you coming on. Keep up the good work. I appreciate you being in the cupboard with a quilt over your head. Don't let anybody tell you like anything different. I really appreciate you putting in that hard work. Yeah, so you keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Because I know you put a lot of work into, to, like you said, you do a lot of research for yours, and we appreciate your work.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
Because, you know, podcaster fatigue is a real thing.
Oh my gosh, I'm suffering now.
Yeah. I think I have it as well. So I'm on hiatus. I took a break. But it's good that I've taken a break, because now it's made me think of like loads of new ideas and stuff like that. But
she said she's taking a break from podcasts as she records a podcast.
Yeah, yeah. The joke is, on my podcast, I made it so emotional. I was like, yes, I'm going to take some time out. But do go listen to my new podcast, the Expansion Pod. I was just like, this doesn't make any sense. But yeah, I've taken a break.